It's Let's Talk Legal on the Talk Station, FM 107.1. And joining us this afternoon, we have Cecil Harvell of Harvell and Collins. Wes normally joins us as well, but he is not in today. We've got Cecil. And with that, Cecil, good morning, or actually, good afternoon to you. Yes.
Good afternoon, Lockwood. Good afternoon. I'm looking forward to talking to you, as always. And Lockwood, I want to review with our listeners one more time about the last will and testament. Notwithstanding there being so much literature, so much Google,
right?
So much on the television, the famous reading of the will on all the sitcoms,
mm-hmm.
and life goes on, notwithstanding all of that flood of information, Lockwood, there still, of course, remains confusion. There are three types of wills that are recognized in the state of North Carolina. And I also want to say, Lockwood, that the type of will that's recognized in North Carolina and any law relative to a state law in North Carolina is just that. It is North Carolina specific.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the few areas of the law, other than, of course, the taxation of estates, that our federal government has decided to leave to the, if you will, sovereignty of a state. So what happens in Virginia is different than North Carolina, is different than Michigan, New Jersey, Florida, Texas. We have 50 states, or 51, I guess, and with Puerto Rico, right, Lockwood?
Right. Yeah, close okay, by, yeah, you. That's exactly
You never
right.
know these days.
I know
next
it.
Thing I, next thing we know, we may have another state.
But then you've got Washington, D.C., too. Yeah.
Yeah, I always learned 50 in the fifth grade.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But the bottom line is that there are many states, and each state would have its particular law governing its estate law. And so therefore, you know, the question comes in all of the time, Mr. Harvell, I have wills from Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to look at them and see if they're going to be okay in North Carolina. And we will do that. But the bottom line is that estates and wills is very state specific. Now, in North Carolina, Lockwood, there are three types of wills. There's the attested typewritten will, which is usually the most common. That's the kind of will that we get from our good lawyer. You know, it's typed, and then we're going to go through the requirements in a minute. Then, though, in North Carolina, we recognize the holographic will, which is a will that's written entirely in the handwriting of the testator and kept amongst its valuable effects and papers, and enumerates and makes it clear in the handwriting that it's intended to be a will and that it will, if you will, dispose of the property. It makes that clear within the document. That is called a holographic will. Now, the last will that North Carolina recognizes, which is very rare indeed, but it's kind of fun to talk about, Lockwood, particularly on the bar exam.
Okay.
Called the nuncupative will or the soldier's will, which is the last will spoken by a soldier who then, unfortunately, does not survive the speaking of his or her last will. It's called the nuncupative will. That is rare indeed, but it does exist. And North Carolina, being the great state that we are and very conservative, we have not abolished the nuncupative will. Some states have, but we still recognize it, and that's maybe a good thing.
Well,
now, the typewritten will is the one that most of us are familiar with. This is usually prepared by a lawyer, or it can be something that a person prepares without oil. But the bottom line is that it's going to have to be then, because it's typewritten, Lockwood, it's going to have to be signed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to have to be witnessed by two witnesses. Just the two witnesses. Now, we're about to say that usually there is a third person present who is the notary.
Right.
Who witnesses the signature of the testator and the two witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And affirms in writing that they have seen the testator and the two witnesses execute their signature on the document, and I, as the notary, was present when these three persons signed the document.
Mm-hmm.
This is the requirement, if you will, of a typewritten or attested written will.
All right.
The reason the document is required to be typewritten, if you will, and then you know, signed by the testator and witnessed by these two witnesses, is because of the fact that it's typewritten. There's no authentication of this document without the notary, Lockwood. A handwritten will, witnesses are able to come forward and say, oh gosh, I recognize that. That's grandmother's handwriting.
Uh-huh.
That's
uh-huh.
daddy's handwriting.
Right.
From beginning to end, that is his penmanship. And therefore, it is authenticated by witnesses who say that they recognize and support the handwriting. But when a will is typewritten on a computer, typewriter, whatever the case might be, no one knows that it is, in fact, the statement of the testator, unless, of course, the testator signs at the bottom of the document stating that it's their last will and testament and makes this signature in the presence of witnesses and in the presence of a notary public. Now, of course, the document, even though it's typewritten, and we don't recognize one typewriter from a different typewriter,
right.
The bottom line is it's been authenticated.
You know,
so
that's a little bit of a curve.
The primary two wills
yeah.
that we see on a daily basis in our law firm, we do see holographic wills.
Uh-huh.
We don't recommend them because so many times with a holographic will, there's a missing piece. There's a missing ingredient, like mm-hmm. I hereby appoint my son is my executor. Well, the son now has passed on, and there's no alternate to
right.
the son. I hereby give my estate to my children. Well, one or two of the children are no longer living. What then happens? So the bottom line to those kinds of documents is that many times there are missing pieces, there are missing ingredients, and that then violates this very fundamental rule, Lockwood, that you have and I have and all good people have, which is we want to, you know, avoid excessive cost and avoid excessive delay. When we have a missing ingredient in a last will and testament, then of course we are going to set up the posture for there to be excessive delay and potentially excessive cost. And we see that, Lockwood, routinely with a handwritten will. With a written will, typewritten, and then witnessed and by notaries and by witnesses, those problems are usually a little less prevalent because so many times those wills have been prepared by a lawyer, which is a good thing. The attested written will by far, Lockwood, is the most common document, and we do need to look at it very carefully, make sure that it's in conformance with North Carolina law. And then, as I've said so many times before, the devil is in the detail, Lockwood, mm-hmm. in terms of these contingencies. What happens if a beneficiary is not living? What if a charity cannot be located?
Mm-hmm. Right.
What if a grandchild is underage? Just last week, I had a wonderful gentleman from Beaufort who I've so enjoyed working with, like I do almost all my clients enjoy working with them. And he was giving $100,000 to a certain name,
mm-hmm.
and the bottom line there is that is that he gave me the name. So let's just say John Doe.
Right.
And, of course, fortunately, this is what good lawyers do, which is that, well, I understand you want $100,000 to go to John Doe. Where does he live? Well, he lives in Michigan, and he's a little boy. Well, that was the key. That was the key. Red note, a little boy.
Right.
What do you mean, client? Well, he's only 4 years old. So, see,
wow.
If he had done the will on his own, potentially, he would have left the $100,000 to the boy, John Doe. But not knowing that there have to be provisions about when you leave $100,000 to a four-year-old.
Right.
That's just not going to work.
Right.
There has to be some holdback provisions under those circumstances. So those are the kinds of things we might see in a will where there's just a missing piece. The lawyer is there to pick up those pieces and make the document whole and complete. So, again, to just review, Lockwood, we mostly see the typewritten will signed by the testator and witnessed by two witnesses, and then all three of those folks sign in presence of a notary.
I have a quick question for you, Cecil. Again, Cecil,
sure.
Harvell of Harvell and Collins with us this afternoon. And let me just remind you, don't hesitate to give him a call. We're going to talk about what kind of information you need to bring if you are doing a will. I'm going to ask you that question in a few moments here, Cecil. But going back to the typewritten will, if I've got a typewritten will and I'm looking at the will and I've, on my own, start scratching through making corrections or changes, let's say I remove a name and I add a name, things of that nature. Is that creditable in that case? Because I've
well,
made
that can be a real problem.
Ooh.
There's a lot of case law on that. We have several cases in our office right now where, unfortunately, we are forced into a declaratory judgment action to interpret what those writings on the side of the document mean. If absolute clarity exists, then hey, that's wonderful. But this is one of the reasons we keep the original wills in our vault system at our law firm,
mm-hmm.
so that they don't accidentally get written on.
Uh-huh.
This is an everyday conversation, Lockwood. I had a wonderful lady call me a week ago or so and say, Mr. Harvell, my husband and I need to review everything. Can you put our documents up at the front? And I said, well, I can do that, but let me put a copy up there. She says, no, I think we better look at the originals. And, of course, she's just a wonderful lady. But I said, well, you know, Mrs. Jones, Mrs. Smith, you know, I'm going to do whatever you ask me to do, of course. But I don't be aware now that if I do put the originals up at the front and you pick them up, I don't want you to start writing on the originals. Let's write on a copy, and then we'll change the originals to conform to your changes that you've made on your copies. And that all kind of sunk in after a minute or two. She says, oh, okay, well, then just put copies up front,
right.
Mr. Harvell, you know.
The other aspect of that is once the original leaves your office, I mean, that is your ultimate ultimate device or product, your evidence, is it not?
Sometimes it can't be found.
Yeah.
And let's keep in mind, someone else might do some writing on that original. Protecting the sanctity of the original document is very, very important. But, of course, even though this is a shorter program this afternoon, Lockwood, with you, but I still enjoy it as always.
Well, thank you.
But these are such important points, you know. Be careful about your original. Go to a lawyer and look at these contingencies about what if people are still not living. We just see this all the time where folks will bring in their original from even 5 years ago, and they're just so shocked to see that they appointed you know, well, I appointed my brother as executor because I knew he would be great for my kids, but my brother is no longer living. I now don't have an alternate executor. They named each other, and then they named the brother. So these are the kinds of things that we look at, we dust off, and we proceed from there, Lockwood.
Okay, again, I want to, before we wrap things up, ask you one final question. And again, remind folks that don't hesitate to give Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins, but definitely Cecil, a call, 252-726-9050. And their office is located at 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City. And go online to harvellandcollins.com. Spell out the word and, A-N-D, harvellandcollins.com. Cecil, talking about wills, one final question for you. What is required for information if somebody's coming to visit with you? What do you expect from them to begin with?
Very little, Lockwood, because we don't want them to delay their appointment because of their, quote, fear or anxiety about, well, but Mr. Harvell, I need this, I need that. The bottom line is we just need you. We will get the ball rolling. We will start the process. And at that point, we then will begin to gather up the documentation that we need with you. Our paralegals will assist in helping you get the documents. We'll tell you more frankly what you need, that kind of thing. Initially, we only need the client.
Okay.
And we then will take it from there.
All right. That's what we've heard. All right, Cecil, thank you very much for your time. I know you've got to get other commitments today. Appreciate your time this afternoon.
Okay. Thank you, Lockwood. I enjoyed it.
As always.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Uh-huh.
All right. Let's Talk Legal on the Talk Station, FM 107.1. And again, to remind you, don't hesitate to give Cecil or Wes a call. 252 area code 726-9050.